This episode is brought to you by Get Group. Learn more about secure, ISO-compliant mobile driver's licenses and sign up for a demo at getgroupna.com. Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the AnvaCast. This week, I'm excited to introduce you all to my guest, Christina Boardman, the administrator of the Wisconsin Department of Motor Vehicles. Christina, welcome to your first appearance on the AnvaCast.
Hi, Ian. Thanks so much for having me.
Christina, so many of these AnvaCast episodes, we've been talking about the adjustments and changes that different agencies and jurisdictions are making during this time of the pandemic. And there's one that Wisconsin was on the forward side of and got some attention around. And so I wanted to chat with you a little bit about that. And it really has to do with the adjustments you made in recognition on getting new drivers on the road, particularly younger drivers that are getting their license for the first time. Wisconsin got innovative and tried to figure out how do we balance both safety on our roads of new drivers, but also protect the health of our driver applicants and our driver examiners. And you put some new waivers into place that were very specific for new drivers. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those waivers, and maybe we'll have a little conversation about them?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So like many DMVs, one of the first things we did in mid-March in the midst of the pandemic was to stop doing all road tests. We're obviously in very close quarters, and that was one thing that we needed to do immediately while we assessed how we were going to do business in the future. And knowing that we do about 2,100 road tests a week, every single day and week that passed while we were not doing road tests, we had quite a buildup there. And that doesn't mean you cut corners, but we were very mindful of the backlog that was accumulating for these new people that needed to drive, and knowing the connection between driving and employment, we were very mindful of that. So we took some time to look at our statutes and see what we might be able to have some flexibility on. And we're lucky in Wisconsin that we were able to exempt applicants from one or more portions of the law in a pilot format. And so we worked with our secretary's office and communicated to the legislature that we wanted to start a pilot that would allow us for new drivers that have completed all driver's ed, and that means all of your classroom, your behind the wheel, and at least 30 hours driving with a parent or guardian. If you've completed all those steps and your parent feels that you are good to drive without them in the car and to move to the next step of the probationary license, we wanted to open up that opportunity. And it's really through our connections with AMVA that we knew that other states have done something like this, and they've been very successful. Iowa's done it for many years, and Nebraska has a similar waiver program, and they even had their university look at the safety statistics on that. And so this was one of the first things that bubbled up that we wanted to talk about. We also spent some time looking at the data, and we knew that more than half of our tests are, back 65%, are taken by, our road tests are for people that are under the age of 18. And we know that 98% of those kids are passing on that first or second attempt of taking the road test. It shows that the training is working, and that all of that practice is working. And the fact that they are going on to a probationary license, which again takes away some of those distractions for new drivers and having, you know, reduced number of people in the car and hours in which they can be on the road. We wanted to do that. So, it was a little controversial.
So, yeah, I want to talk about the controversy part of it as well. But just to be clear, the population that was eligible for this waiver specifically had to go through the driver's education program, show proof that they've done that and completed their required behind the wheel hours. And you mentioned, though, that this population of being 18 or younger, did the waiver have that age specification, or could an older applicant apply for it if they also went through that training and behind the wheel hours?
No, we made it very specific to 16 and 17 year olds only, because at age 18, the probationary driver license doesn't apply. So we knew that if we went ahead and licensed these 16 and 17 year olds, we also had that 9 months of the probationary graduated driver licensing program that reduced those distractions. And they need to have, in addition to the training, they need to have that sponsor sign off. And we feel that those 30 plus hours in the car with your sponsor, parent, guardian, those are really important. And if the parent is taking that time seriously and running their, and they feel comfortable with all of that time that they spent in the car with them, we mm-hmm. feel that that says something. And we are willing for them to vouch in lieu of the 15-minute road test with DMV.
Are you finding applicants taking advantage of this? Are you getting a lot of this folks participating in the waiver?
Yeah, it started on May 11th. And since that date, we have successfully processed about 25,000 waivers. So there were a lot the first day because we knew we had that pent up demand and, mm-hmm. and kids that had already completed all of their driving. I'd say now we're about an average of about 150 waivers a day. But so it is proven successful. And we have a lot of new drivers out there with whose parents obviously feel comfortable with them driving independently with the safeguards that are in place with graduated driving.
Sure. And for the other driver license folks who are listening, when you talk about 150 a day or the ones since May, obviously the population of Wisconsin and new drivers is going to be different than depending on any other state that's listening, whether that's less or more. So, you know, percentage-wise, are you seeing, would you characterize it as most new drivers are now choosing to do this, half are choosing to do it, or some are still choosing to do the more traditional route?
We're finding about 80% are choosing the waiver, and we needed to look mm-hmm. at those numbers because we needed to project how many road test appointments we needed to still be making available, both for the 18 and older and for anyone that chooses not to take the waiver. So yeah, it is a high percentage, 80 to 85, but there was a lot of communication about it ahead of time, but we really have not heard much lately, and the numbers do continue to come through.
And are you doing any tracking of that person's record to know that they've entered the probationary license through this pilot process as opposed to the pre-existing traditional process?
Yes, we are. We are looking at, in fact, that is part of the pilot, and we are going to be producing, we're doing that analysis, and we're going to give that those results to the legislature. So we are looking at convictions that occur, and we have a pilot group that went through the, quote, normal process before, and we're trying to make that a representative sample to what we're collecting now. To date, it's only been since May 11th. We are not seeing any concerns to date, but we are going to keep an eye on that. And we feel that data is very important. And if the legislature would want to choose to make this a permanent program, we wanted to be able to have that data to back that up so that they felt comfortable making that decision or considering that program.
And if it was being made a permanent program, do you see it still as a possible permanent program where a new driver applicant would have the option? Or do you see potentially at 80 plus percent going this route? Is it a opportunity to rethink the entry into probationary licensing, presuming driver education, behind the wheel hours, sponsor sign off? Is an opportunity to just switch the way we've done things?
I think it is an opportunity to look at the way we have done things, and this requires some really good connections with the parents that are out there, as well as our driver training schools. You know, I think we felt very comfortable doing this based on what we were seeing with the kids that were taking training. But we've had those conversations with driver training schools and saying, you know, it's not just show up and pass. You need to be knowing that the waiver is an option for the student. You need to be very honest about their performance during both the classroom and behind the wheel, and be very honest with that parent as well. And I know some parents can be looking at the opportunity to maybe have their child drive themselves somewhere. But we try to stress right from the onset when we are giving that permit. We have what's known as a parent supervised drive guide, which I know many other states do. And it talks about that partnership and how to kind of frame those 30 hours that you're going to be sitting in the car with your child, and making sure that you're offering a variety of environments, of course, you know, at least 10 hours at dark, and really taking that seriously. And as a parent, I know that, you know, it is a hugely important decision to hand those keys over to your child and not be in the car mm-hmm. with them. And I know many parents have in the past have looked to DMV to make that decision. But in this altered circumstances that we're in right now, I think we're all having to take a little bit more responsibility, and parents are definitely stepping up, and some are saying, no, I'm not comfortable making that choice, and I still want you to test with DMV, and that is completely fine. We want to make sure that it is the parent that is doing the waiving, and so we have a parent, you know, separately logging on with their personal identifiers to authorize the waiver and sign off on liability as the sponsor. And then we are following up with an email to them to make sure that, to clarify that indeed the waiver was issued in their name. And so far that process has been working well. With the driver training schools, they too are sending those results in electronically. So we're wanting to make sure that all these things can be happening in sort of a remote, no touch environment. And, it seems to be working well.
And the driver training schools are sending the results directly to you at the DMV, and then, or is it going to the parent to deliver to you?
Nope, it goes right to us. We have an electronic system that they upload those, the students and the fact that they have completed driver training. And so when they, and that is necessary to go on to start the waiver process, we need to know that there's a completion certificate on file that's been uploaded electronically.
And that was an infrastructure you had in place prior to the pandemic anyway, as part of your new driver requirements.
Yes, it was. We've kind of been thinking about what are these connections that we can be doing all through the process and kind of set us up for additional electronic procedures. And so this is one that we did a few years ago, and making sure the schools were connected. And so we were very happy to have that in place ahead of time so that we could facilitate this as well.
You mentioned earlier, not everybody was a fan of the new idea and was not met with, you know, complete unanimity of, yes, please go and try to do this a new way. What was some of that feedback that you were referencing earlier?
Well, we did hear from people that were 18 and older that felt, you know, that the opportunity should be available to them as well. Some, you know, you're not required to take driver's ed, but they did choose to do that, and they didn't understand why that waiver wasn't available. We wanted to make sure that when we were starting this waiver, we also had a plan at the same time for in-person road tests, knowing that that could be a problem. So we started the waiver on May 11th, and within 2 weeks, we are also doing in-person skills tests. So we wanted to make sure that the people that weren't eligible had the opportunity to come in a safe environment, take the test to get their to get their license. We did hear from some driver training schools that had some concerns, and it really, you know, highlights, and we tried to make the point, you know, you guys are doing such a great job out there training the drivers. That's why we feel comfortable with this. But, you know, it does require you to be very honest with that parent of their performance. Many of them have an end of course evaluation that they're going through anyway. And I think it just elevates the importance of what they're doing. We also heard from people that just you know, just hearing about the program, didn't think it was going to be safe on the roads anymore. Sure. And so we did talk about that. And we said, you know, again, these are people, 98% of them are passing our test on the first or second attempt. And also, they've been on the road before. They've been driving on their permit mm-hmm. for six mm-hmm. plus months. The main difference is they're not going to have that. They'll be allowed to drive without that parent. Right.
So you mentioned that it's a pilot, which, and that you're preparing a report and tracking the records. When do you expect that to go until? Is there a deadline you have to report back to the legislature by?
We felt like it would be most appropriate. We definitely wanted to do it through the end of the calendar year. Our hope is that we can actually do it for a full 12 months. So, I think it's important to have a little bit longer period of time to be looking at the data and to have a responsible sample set to talk about. But yes, our report is due to the legislature by the end of calendar year 2021. It's a biennial report that all agencies are required to submit, and it will be included in that.
Very good. So, Christine, I want to switch gears a little bit from this specific topic and give the opportunity for our listeners to get to know you a little bit better. You are now the secretary of the AMVA Board of Directors. You also serve as advisor to our Vehicle Standing Committee and are involved in a number of different activities throughout AMVA. And you've been the Wisconsin Administrator now for how many years?
Since 2015, I think.
2015. As administrator for 5 years.
Yes,
already.
I've been with DMV since 2006. But I was lucky enough to be named the administrator. And actually, I think it was February 2016. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What originally brought you to the DMV in 2006?
I worked for the legislature for 10 years. And one of my jobs that I found most rewarding at the legislature is I was the clerk for the Transportation Committee. And that was a very active committee. At the time, we were dealing with things with seatbelt primary enforcement and also 0.08 laws and the threat of losing federal funding. And I really liked the fact that transportation issues and specifically DMV issues affect everyone. For everyone, it's relevant. Everyone has lots of opinions on that. And in the legislature, that was a great job, and you kind of become a real quick study on a number of items. But I felt like it was time for me to get with an agency and kind of dive deeper on some topics. And knowing my background with transportation related, I started looking for a job with an agency, and I was lucky enough to come here. So I started with the agency. I was actually in the business management, which handled kind of IT and HR and facility type issues. Then I transitioned over to DMV in 2006 while Lynn Judd was the administrator. So haven't looked back since.
And really quickly rose through the ranks through different positions up to being, I guess you were deputy administrator before becoming administrator. So really a quick homegrown success story.
Yeah, I started in the Bureau of Field Services, which for Wisconsin means oversight of the statewide in-person operations. So, you know, I started as an operations chief there, and then the director of that area ended up retiring, and I was lucky enough to get his position, and I did that for 5 years. And that's a really great way to understand the operation. They're doing both drivers and vehicles related topics, really understanding the operations and how to be most efficient, the training requirements for all of those employees, and just they're such a hardworking group. It was a pleasure to learn through the field services. And then I did transition to deputy administrator, which I held for 5 years, and then transferred to be administrator. So yes, and I have been lucky enough to be involved in a number of AMVA committees and groups and roles, and I'm very pleased to be sitting on the executive board and be that much more connected with what AMVA's doing.
Absolutely. And I have no doubt that over the next few years, as you prepare to become chair of the board, that we will have you back on the podcast multiple times. Assuming people out there are still listening to me blabber on and ask questions of our guests, we'll certainly have you back to talk about different activities within our community and welcome you in a couple of years to being chair of the board. That'll be exciting.
Well, Ian, I know you have a built-in fan base, so I'm just happy to sit along here for the ride. So, yes, I'd be happy to come back.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, I want to thank you for coming on today to talk to us about this very specific pilot program. We'll look forward to hearing how it progresses and what that final report looks like to, for the legislature next year. I hope you and yours and everyone in the Wisconsin DMV is staying safe and healthy throughout not only what we've experienced already, but what we still have left to go to get through this pandemic.
Yes. Thank you, Ian. Happy to be here.
Want to thank our producer, Claire Jeffrey, and I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to the AmvaCast. Thank you all and stay well, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for AmvaCast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey, music by Gibson Arthur. This episode has been brought to you by Get Group. Visit us at amvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.